cold because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I haven't got the full effect of my allergy pill, but I feel it coming. Man, am I the only one in Western Oklahoma's got allergies? Oh my gosh, it's terrible this last few weeks. But anyway, currently it's 70 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 38, humidity's 31%. Winds are southwest, 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 14. It's going to get a little breezy here after a while. I'll have the Long Ranger provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden out of Hobart, Oklahoma, here later on in the show. Well, I hope everybody had a great weekend. It was actually not too bad. It was pretty chilly Saturday morning, but it got going, so everything was good. Quail season opened Saturday. The results I've been hearing has not been the best. Most people going found two coveys, some small, some big, some young, some old. A lot of young birds out there. Been hearing the rumors, so be careful out there when you go quail hunting. If you go quail hunting, watch for the size of them birds when they get up on the covey rise, because those young ones are for our January hunting privileges. So there it is. Looks like up north in the Panhandle, they were moving a few coveys there. Public land at Pack Saddle was so-so. Black Kettle was okay, and I didn't get to go, but it's coming, so enjoy the quail. Yeah, the numbers don't look great, but I think they're there. I think they're not nothing like they used to be, don't get me wrong, but there's some birds there. You just got to go find them. It was cold Saturday morning, like I said earlier, and then it got hot real fast, so that's one of those deals where it wasn't the best of opening mornings. It's the middle of November. It's supposed to be cold and chilly and wet. But anyway, it's not happening. We do need a rain. Oh, my gosh, we need a rain. Traveling from Willow, hauling my cattle to Clinton yesterday. I spread the love with my cattle. I do Hollis, Hobart, Woodward, Elk City, Clinton. I hadn't took any to Clinton since they opened up, since Brandon took over. So yesterday I took a couple of loads of calves over from mine and my son's herds, and wasn't very many, but they got about 20 head over there of ours, and we'll see how they do. But I want to give out a shout-out to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction over there. The facilities, of course, are fairly new. Everything's in good shape, but when I pulled in there to unload, bam, bam, I was on my way. Very professional. So anyway, that was you get a chance to take your cattle over there, do so. It was a good deal. Well, cash prices for grains, hard red winter wheat, as of 11 o'clock, was $7.98 a bushel. Corn was $5.71 a bushel. Milo was $5.75. Soybeans at $11.89 a bushel. Cotton hanging in there from Friday at $1.17 a pound. That was cash prices earlier. Wheat futures rose in overnight trading as the grains uptrend continued due to concerns about global supplies. Prices reached an almost 9-year high last week after Russia said it may implement further export levies and other restrictions to ensure ample domestic supply of the grain. Russia shipped 16.6 million metric tons of wheat from July 1st through November 11, a 16% year-on-year decline. S&P Global said in a note to its clients, citing the Russian Federal Service for Veterinary Surveillance. Analysts with S&P have pegged Russia wheat exports in 21 and 22 at 36.5 million metric tons. The U.S. Department of Agriculture last week forecast shipments from the country at 36 million metric tons, down from 38.5 million tons a year earlier. Iran said last week that it's planning to make a large purchase in the near future, which also may weigh on supplies worldwide. They purchased 8 million metric tons since April. Global wheat stockpiles are pegged by the USDA at 275.8 million metric tons in the year that ends on May 31st. That's down from 288 million metric tons last year. In the U.S., output is now seen at 1.65 billion bushels, down from 1.83 billion bushels last year. Domestic inventories on May 31st are seen at 583 million bushels, down from 845 million a year earlier. The USDA said in its monthly World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates report. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 3.75 cents to 8.20¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 2.25 cents to $8.35¼ a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were down 0.75 cents at 5.76¼ a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 1.5 cents to 12.42¾ cents a bushel. Soy meal gained 2.70 to 364.80 a short ton, while soy oil lost 0.56 cents to 58.41 cents a pound. Export sales of grains and beans declined from week to week. Export sales of grains and beans last week were all down from the previous week, according to the USDA. Sales of corn to overseas buyers in the 7 days that ended on November 4th fell to 1.07 million metric tons, down 13% from the week earlier and 4% from the prior four-week average. Canada bought 357,600 metric tons. Colombia took 304,600 tons. Mexico purchased 272,000 tons. Japan was in for 151,000 tons. And the Dominican Republic purchased 11,500 tons. An unnamed country canceled cargoes of 45,600 metric tons, and Costa Rica mixed shipments of 13,700 tons, according to the USDA. Exports from last week, from the week, totaled 718,000 metric tons. Soybean sales last week were reported at 1.29 million metric tons, a 31% drop from the previous week and a 25% decline from the average. China bought 939,000 metric tons. Germany was at a distant second at 311,000 tons. Egypt took 231,000 tons. And Portugal bought 82,100 tons. And Mexico bought 80,000 tons. The total would have been much higher, they said, but unknown destinations canceled shipments for 847,400 metric tons. Well, that's a lot of... That's a lot of cancellation there. That's almost as much as China got. Wheat export sales fell to 285,900 metric tons. That was down 29% from last week or a week earlier and down from the prior four-week average. The Philippines bought 152,000 tons. Japan, 57,000 tons. Mexico, 37,000 tons, and Guatemala bought a whopping 24,000 tons. And, of course, there's an unnamed country canceled shipments totaling 41,800 tons, and Nigeria nixed cargoes of 30,300 tons. Hey, speaking of cargoes, I noticed to ship a cargo container from China to the west coast of the United States cost $16,400 for one container. To ship a container from the West Coast to China is only $1,300. So I guess it's cheaper to ship out than ship in. But anyway, that was this crazy number I seen earlier in some of the stuff I was reading up on. Strong winds are creating extremely dry conditions in the part of the Dakotas starting tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service. High wind watches were issued for western parts of both states. They reported earlier this morning. In western South Dakota, winds are expected to be sustained 25 to 40 miles an hour with gusts up to 55 miles an hour. So if you're up there pheasant hunting, get some heavier load out and be ready to move on target a little quicker than normal when them pheasants get up. High winds may lose debris, damaging property and causing power outages. In the southern plains, strong winds also might be a problem. We are expecting very, very high winds tomorrow, and fire watch will probably be in effect for most of our listening area, including the Oklahoma Panhandle and Texas Panhandle also. So you guys get ready. Like I've always said, please don't be out welding in the pastures tomorrow. Grass is dry, humidity's low. We don't need any big fire, so don't be unsafe and be out there welding tomorrow. Winds likely will be sustained around 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 35 miles an hour in western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. And guess what? That's what I said. Don't be welding tomorrow. Humidity is going to be as low as 8% tomorrow. It won't take much to get fires going tomorrow, so everybody be careful out there. What else is there? Oh, yo, one thing. We got a couple things I'd like to mention real quick. Remember, the labor auction tonight, November 15th at 6:30. Auctions at 7 o'clock for the Future Farmers of America at the Merritt High School. And everything will be at the cafeteria. So please go out and support your local FFA chapters by attending their labor auction. Also, Sweetwater FFA invites you to attend the annual labor auction and calf fry. Auctioneer be, I don't know that name, Mr. Monty Tucker. I remember that guy. Anyway, he's pretty decent at auctioneering, I think. Yeah, that's the same guy that did our quail banquet. I couldn't remember. I was under the influence of blackout from being busy with the banquet. But anyway, it's Thursday, November 18th. It's this Thursday. The meal begins at 6:30. An auction to follow. We will serve locally harvested calf fries, ham, various sides, and dessert. We will have 40 students and some shop projects to auction off as well. And it'll be in the Sweetwater School multi-purpose room. And if you guys out there in our listening area know of your high school having a labor auction coming up and you want me to talk about it on the show, I'll be more than glad. You can text in at the KCO Ag text line, which is 225-580-225-9697. Anytime you want me to announce something to do with FFA and 4-H, I would love to. So there's your deal. So Sweetwater is this Thursday, and Merritt is tonight. So go out and support your local FFA. Well, when I come back, we're going to talk some cattle, farming, inflation. It's a killer. The inflation's a killer right now. So anyway, you guys come back, join me, and listen to the rest of the show. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. With two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, BNL Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the Beef Sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yes, sir. 72 degrees, wind still out of the south at 9 miles an hour, gusting up to 13. We'll have the Long Ranger here, last segment coming up. Well, let's see here. FYI, if you guys haven't seen this or heard of this, in 2000, this is for cattlemen, people who's got cattle, pay attention. In 2023, antibiotics that are currently available over the counter will require a veterinarian's prescription. While 2023 might seem a long way off, it's not too early for livestock producers to think about how recent Food and Drug Administration guidance might affect their operations, says the University of Missouri Extension veterinarian Craig Payne. On June 11th, the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine published guidance for industry number 263 in the Federal Register. The document outlines a strategy and a timeline for bringing all medically important antibiotics that are currently available over the counter under veterinarian oversight. This will affect several antibiotics familiar to livestock producers. If you have a valid veterinarian-client-patient relationship, the impact will be minimal because a veterinarian will be able to issue a prescription for those antibiotics, says Payne. If you don't have a VCPR, now's the time to find a veterinarian willing to work with you to ensure your future access to antibiotics. Under a VCPR, a veterinarian must have a significant knowledge of your operation to make medical judgments, he says. It also means you agree to follow the veterinarian's instructions. In 2017, many antibiotics used in the feed or drinking water of livestock move from over-the-counter status to requiring a veterinarian feed directive or prescription. However, a small percentage remained available OTC in other forms such as injectables, tubes, and boluses, Payne said. GFI 263 specifically addresses this small percentage. The FDA expects the labels of those remaining OTC antibiotics to display the following language by June 11, 2023. Caution: federal law restricts this drug to be used by or on the order of a licensed veterinarian. This will end all over-the-counter sales of antibiotics, and livestock owners will need a prescription from a veterinarian in the future if they want to access these antibiotics. He emphasizes that antibiotics won't necessarily have to be purchased through a veterinarian, but a prescription will be required. So there you have it on that. So FYI, I got sidetracked a while ago. I was telling you about we need a rain. I'm sure all you guys out there, ladies and guys, know we need a rain, but just to our listeners that are not involved in ag, as I made two loads from Willow to Clinton yesterday down the back roads, 152 through Burns Flat and Cordell and Deal City, all that good way by Bessie, the wheat needs a drink of water. And Lacey Lowry will be on, or Lacey Swope will be on tomorrow. and hopefully she will have us some good news in the near future. I noticed some irrigation pivots have fired up that usually don't fire up for wheat yesterday, so we're struggling for some. We got some good sub moisture. We just need some surface moisture, and I need a good runoff. I got one pond left with a mud hole in it down in the breaks west of Willow there, about 6 miles, and I could sure use some water, and we all could. Haven't got any runoff down there all summer, even through all that rain, but the ground's in good shape. The grass was good. I'm not complaining, but I would rather have some pond water during the winter versus having to worry about the solar pump or the windmills running. The USDA would work with farmers to reduce agriculture emissions of methane, said the White House in describing the domestic impact on the UN climate summit in Scotland. The United States also is a leader in the Agriculture Innovation Mission for the Climate, designed to accelerate breakthroughs in climate smart farm production. More than 100 nations signed a global methane pledge to reduce emissions of the potent greenhouse gas by 30% by the end of this decade from 2020 levels. Methane breaks down relatively quickly in a decade or so, but traps far more heat than carbon dioxide, making it an attractive target for climate migration in the near term. The Biden administration plans a broad attack on methane emissions, including an updated rule on emissions by the oil and gas industry. For methane from agriculture, the administration said it would expand on an important and impactful incentive-based and voluntary partnership programs, such as capturing and using methane for renewable energy on the farm. Agriculture accounts for 10% of the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, and methane associated with livestock production comprises 36% of ag emissions. Nations showered pledges on the Agriculture Innovation Mission for Climate, quickly meeting the initial goal of $4 billion to invest in increased agricultural production and incomes while adapting to climate change and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The United States was planning to mobilize $1 billion over 5 years, said the White House. More than 30 countries and 45 non-governmental entities were part of the incentive, launched by the United States and the United Arab Emirates. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said the new goal for AIM for climate was $8 billion by the time the 2022 Climate Summit convenes. Agriculture is not part of the problem. It's part of the solution, said Vilsack during a teleconference at the end of the first week of the summit in Scotland. The administration's social welfare and climate change bill awaiting a vote in the House would essentially provide rocket fuel to the United States Department of Agriculture's climate migration proposals. It's not migration, it's mitigation proposals. But as he noted, we can do all that we can today with existing funds. We'll have to make do, he says. Well, when I get back, we're going to talk some cattle. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 5th. 2,660 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 403 brought 176. 22 at 519 brought 166. 14 at 588 brought 165. 7 at 618 brought 137. 15 at 680 brought 137. 14 at 724 brought 145.50. 19 head of heifers at 343 brought 164. 19 at 509 brought 148. 3 at 555 brought 135. 8 at 590 brought 143.50. 4 at 620 brought 127.50. 11 at 675 brought 120. Butcher cows were 10 to 71.50, bred cows 350 to 1385, butcher bulls were 50 to 95.50, pairs brought 1050 to 1700. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
-73 degrees at the studio. Hey, let's check out some air temperatures around the state. How about that? Let's see, where's the coolest? Far northeastern Oklahoma is 66 at Miami. The warmest spot right now is Hooker at 80 degrees, 73 at Eric, 72 at Hollis, 69 at Hobart, 68 at Weatherford, 71 at Putnam, and all the way up there at Camargo on the north side of the River Bridge, it's 74 degrees. So anyway, there's some area temperatures. I'd be curious. I read this article over the weekend, and I thought it pertains to a lot of us. This is like me. I sold, took some calves that were unwinged, 400 to 500 pounders over there this weekend. I usually wean them for a little bit anyway and get them worked and everything. And it's been one of those crazy years, and I didn't get to it. And I just loaded them up, took them over there. It's my right to do that. So one of these deals is when to buy, when to sell, what's taking a hit. So this is a pretty good article that I like to share with you guys. The thing is, what we are seeing in the cattle markets is very regional specific right now. This gentleman said, every week I post on here what the discount of feeder bulls was. A young woman called me from Tennessee asking where I find these discounts because she wasn't seeing it. So I watched a Tennessee sale this week, and she wasn't wrong. In fact, lightweight feeder bulls near her brought more than a lot of the steers. At that sale, there was some few steers in the offering, but a buyer could easily make a load of bulls. The biggest factor affecting price of male calves was quality, not if they'd been castrated. The opposite is true if you look in ranch country. There, feeder bulls were 25 back. The discount for a bull is much greater than the discount for an unwinged animal. The signals buyers are sending there is, if you do not castrate your animals, you're a lousy rancher. So yesterday I was a lousy rancher. In some parts of the country, wheat and grass cattle buyers are aggressively buying flyweight calves. In those markets, the value of gain is lower than the cost of gain up to 500 pounds. But in a different part of the country, those same flyweights are selling 60 cents back. The discounts for unwinged cattle are just as a regional specific. Some buyers want them flesh before anyone else has a chance to screw them up. Others have had train wrecks weaning calves this fall and will not buy them unless heavily discounted. The discount for being unwinged is 44 to 20 back this week. This is not the first time I mentioned on here that health has been a challenge for unwinged calves. The last 3 weeks, I've had numerous conversations with people across the country, and weaning has been rough all over. I saw earlier this week a report come out with placement numbers. For those of you think those reports matter, you can expect one thing. The number is going to go down because death loss is going to take a bite out of it. Another topic has been collar. Some people are seeing a huge discount on cattle that are not black. That is one way to look at it. I have a different perspective on that. We are seeing a premium for black cattle. The combines are getting washed and put away, and those farmer types want some stock around to feed their corn to. They have a taste for nice winged black cattle and are willing to pay out for them. One thing I tell the participants that come to my marketing schools is that they should go to auctions when they know they will not be buying or selling anything. This allows them to take in the auction in a relaxed state, and they will pick up on things, spot opportunities, and relationships are easier. I follow my own advice, and one issue that caught my attention is the price relationships between different quality cull cows. The relationships between cull cows strongly capture my interest. Last night, I got on the internet and dug into what the university types have to say about feeding cows. I was not surprised at what I found when they discussed the economic side of it. In their papers, they cite buy-sell margins, which is the buy-low, sell-high theory. We know this doesn't work because the market goes up half the time and down half the time. Anyhow, their conclusion is that it's only profitable to feed cows when the price of feed is cheap. None of us have cheap feed right now, but some of us have something the university folks don't have: market literacy. I ran some numbers last night, coupling my sell-buy marketing skill and their Fed rations, using a corn price of $6 and hay at $200 a ton. I then looked at my barn cards from that day. I wrote down what every cow sold for, her weight, and some notes about her condition and age. And there was profitable trades popping up all over. I am going to put that right there. Tuition to my marketing schools is only $750 and takes only a couple of days. Compare that to a college tuition and the use of value of each. In other words, he says you don't have to have a college education to buy and sell cattle. Hay prices hit a new high this week at some local auctions. I will put it in this way. If a cow consumes 4.5 bales at that price, she will have consumed the entire value of a 5-weight steer. I've also noticed the last 2 weeks driving down the road that there was more corn stalk bales than I've ever seen. Since the topic seems to be in relations this week, here's a fun one. When I paid for my lunch at the stockyard this week, the waitress gave me a handful of nickels when making my change. She apologized for running out of quarters. I had no issue with all those old nickels she gave me since they were old enough to contain silver. She gave me the correct change by their face value. But if we look at the relationship value of buy-sell transaction, I got a good deal at the lunch. I've already covered the discounts and relations above to trend what we are seeing in the market. Plains is the VOG has eroded away on flyweight cattle, then gets strong boost at 700 pounds and remains strong up to 900 pounds. This is a huge rollback on lightweight heifers, and that the rollback narrows up as they get heavier. So there you got it. That was a really interesting story that I came across, and I got another one here if I can get it to come up. Where is it at? Anyway, here it is. It's in my book. Sorry. We come across this story quite a bit in the last, ever since President Obama was in, but ranchers and farmers really do need clarity and consistency in the new water rule. If you farm or ranch for a living, by now you're almost certainly heard the term WOTUS, which stands for Waters of the United States. The subject of regulatory and legal battles for most of the last decade, Waters of the United States emerged as part of our 1972 Clean Water Act and refers to the waterways under federal oversight by the Environmental Protection Agencies and the Army Corps of Engineers. However, since its introduction, the exact definition of the WOTUS has been hotly contested, and we all have known that here recently, especially. From the mid-1980s to 2015, the definition remained relatively unchanged, then responding to a U.S. Supreme Court decision, the Obama administration made drastic changes. Their 2015 WOTUS rule went far beyond any previous definition by including seasonal streams, dry riverbeds, and even drainage ditches. The radical overstep gave the federal government control over huge amounts of private property. It was also difficult to understand the meaning landowners would have to spend thousands of dollars to figure out if they were subject to the rule. If they were, it would cost him tens of thousands of dollars in permits for something as simple as digging a stock pond. In 2015, WOTUS rule was mired in legal changes from the outset. After years of legal uncertainty, the Trump administration successfully repealed the rule and replaced it with the Navigable Waters Protection Act, or the NWPR. The NWPR was a vast improvement for ranchers. It removed federal jurisdiction over the intermittent streams and isolated water features previous causing so much concern, and exempted stock ponds and other agriculture sites. It was also easy to understand, so landowners wouldn't have to spend their limited resources on consultants to determine whether they had federally regulated water on their property. Unfortunately, the new rule was struck down in August by a U.S. District Court in Arizona. The Biden administration planned to replace the rule anyway, citing concerns over environmental groups. As this process continues, we all hope that we can get a hold of the right people and urge the people that the new rule should maintain a definition consistent with traditionally navigable waters that regularly flow in and abundant wetlands. Exclude intermediate streams, isolated water features, agriculture stock ponds, ditches, and prior converted cropland. Maintain the groundwater is not a medium subject to federal jurisdiction. Instead, it's an interested resource left to the states to manage. Be easy to interpret without having to hire expert consultants. Clean water is a very, very vital component of any successful agriculture operation. For the sake of our livestock, our families, and our communities, we deeply are committing to our natural resources. We simply need a practical, interpretable WOTUS definitions so we can care for our land and pass it on to the next generation. Very true. You guys pay attention to this, because that, you know how this thing's gone. Back when President Obama in 2015 did that deal, I was an uproar. I was calling Representative Lucas. I was calling state, because I've got water on all my places at Willow. I got irrigation wells that are near, not navigable water, but streams. And it was going to get ugly, and it still can. So everybody stay on top of that and let your state representative know what's going on, or your federal representative. Speaking of our federal representative, for most of our listening area on the Oklahoma side of the state line, next Monday, November 22nd at 6:30 at the Elk City Civic Center, Western Oklahoma Patriots will be having a town hall meeting, and it's a Q&A with Congressman Frank Lucas. So don't miss out on that. You guys, what we're talking about as far as WOTUS, how about the federal mandates from President Biden on the vaccine? Everybody show up next Monday evening at the Civic Center. It's a large Civic Center, so there will be room for everybody. So whether you live in Hobart, whether you live in Arnett or Altus, please come. And to the Q&A with Frank Lucas, Representative Frank Lucas. He's a farmer. He's a rancher here in Roger Mills County. So come ask some questions, get some out on the board, because we got a crazy future in front of us with inflation going on. And I filled up with diesel at Clinton the other day, $3.49 a gallon, just $100, gave me a little over half a tank. So, yeah, it's looking pretty rough out there. Well, when I come back, we'll have the Long Rangers. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First, the last Tuesday, November the 9th, we sold 1,050 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, November the 11th, we sold 4,823 calves and feeders for a total of 5,873 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 68 to 78. Then cows bring 41 to 60, 50. Well, the bulls bringing 67.5 to 88. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 835 to 1250. With their 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 880 to 1285. 9 and older bred cows, 700 to 935. 2 to 8 year old pairs, $1,300 to $1,650. Otter steer cattle, 3 to 350 weight steers, $198 to $221. 4 to 450, $183 to $210. 5 to 550 wean steers, $167 to $190. 6 to 650 wean, $147 to $160. And off the cow, $149 to $154. 7 to 750 steers, $142 to $162. 8 to 850, $152 to $163.50. 9 to 950 steers, $150 to $155.50. We sold 3 loads of black steers, 1 bunch weighing 878, bring $163.60. Otter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, $165 to $172. 4 to 450, $141 to $170. 5 to 550, $149.50 to $158. 6 to 650, $140 to $149. 7 to 750 heifers, $135 to $152. With our 8 to 850 heifers, $146 to $151. 16 heifers weighing 916, bring $122. Very aggressive market with 14 feeder buyers there every week, plus farmers and ranchers buying two, makes a very aggressive market. Again, we sell 3 loads of black steers weighing 878, bring $163.60. For this Tuesday, November 16th, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs. We've got another 35 bred cows, 5 to 7 years old. Give us a call. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a 2-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
73 degrees, wind south. Gusts are starting to pick up to 16 miles an hour, so it's going to start getting breezy here pretty quick. High today at 76. Tomorrow, high 82. Very breezy. Tomorrow night, low of 45. Still pretty windy. Switching Wednesday, out of the northwest, 58 for a high Wednesday, so there's a 30 degree drop, and it'll be extremely dry and breezy winds out of the northwest starting Wednesday. Low Wednesday night, 31. Thursday, high 55, light winds. Friday, 62 degrees. So anyway, it looks like a kind of a crazy up and down. We go from the 80s to the 50s, back up into the 60s. So anyway, getting ready. Deer season gun rifle opens this Saturday. Everybody ready? Got your rifles zeroed in, whole 9 yards. Well, if you're not, you need to be getting ready. Lieutenant James will be in tomorrow to discuss some upcoming stuff with the rifle season coming in. I'm sure we'll be talking gun safety, fluorescent orange for all those that love to wear, don't like to wear orange, especially when they get in their tree stand. Well, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on right now at Clinton, as you guys well know. Elk City was Friday. The Hobart Stockyards will be this coming Wednesday. So anybody's got any buy or sell, make sure you call Rex Fleming down at Hobart at the Stockyards, and he'll take care of any of your buying and selling needs. Brandon will have me his report out tonight when they get done with Clinton. Looks like they had a full boat. Oh, hang on for... I just remembered something. Let me get on here. Bear with me a little bit. It was not prepared. I was unprepared, but I had it up and then I didn't get it down. Okay. This, a week from today, on November 22nd, there's going to be a winged calf sale at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction next Monday, November 22nd. And it's going to start at, I seen the time in there, 9:30 or 10. Anyway, it'll be starting from there. They already got consignments. We'll be getting, they're doing cows. They got 175 to 200 cows. And then they got calves that have been weaned 45 to 75 days that they're going to be selling. Any looks like lots of weights in there. And then they're going to have about 600 calves and unworked yearlings. And that's next Wednesday, next Monday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Call Brandon if you got any questions for any of that. Or Tony or Marty, just call over there to the sale and they'll take care of you next Monday. Inflation. You guys know I don't like inflation, right? Well, anyway, inflation levels are now at levels the United States hasn't seen in decades. The latest consumer price index showed a 6.2% spike over the last 12 months, the biggest increase in nearly 30 years. The CPI shows it's not just food items costing consumers more, but from fuel to new vehicles, prices are surging from year to date, totaling means U.S. shoppers haven't experienced a price surge like this since 1990. Here is the CPI on some items here. Fuel oil, up 59.1%. Gasoline, up 49.6%. Used cars and trucks are up 26.4%. Beef is up 20.1%. Bacon is up 15.4%. Pork is up 14.1%. Eggs are up 11.6%. Chicken's up 8.8%. And milk is up 4.3%. So there you have it. The dramatic rise in meat prices was dubbed as meatflation by Bloomberg this week. While consumers are seeing spiking prices, livestock producers aren't benefiting from the price increase. We're not. In fact, pork producers have seen hog prices plummet as the input prices have spiked. Experts says the rising prices for consumer are all thanks to a mix of rampant demand, raw material shortages from processors, and choke points along the global supply chain. So, what could the price pain at the store mean for consumers' appetite for meat? So far this year, domestic demand has reached record levels. One Ohio State University agriculture economist doesn't expect the prices to be a major hit on the overall demand picture yet. It might change some consumer demand in the long term, but overall, as people get adjusted, they try something they haven't tried before, like curbside pickup, online grocery shopping. It also changed how shoppers are buying. But meat continues to be the very popular product. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to see the huge swings in that. Others aren't sold on the fact higher prices won't change consumers' taste. In fact, if meat prices continue to climb, some think consumers may be forced to change their eating habits. What that means is people are not going to be eating as well. So I'm guessing you got to go from fillets to round steaks, if I was guessing right. They're certainly not going to be eating out as much. They're not going to be buying expensive items in the grocery. And, you know, the fuel, rental prices, those are what people spend most of their money on. Excuse me. Some economic analysts say relief could come and the pandemic eases significantly and more people getting back to work in the stores and the offices. As for high prices and shortage of cars, experts say they will probably take longer to solve due to the computer chips used to make them are so specialized and there's just not enough of them getting to the United States. So there you go. That's how inflation and its effectiveness. And I seen a comment on another site that I was going to... This is this guy talking, not me, but I thought it was an interesting comment. It says, let me add my two cents to the inflation. My first presidential election was 1968, Richard Nixon. So I've been, seen some real bonehead presidential policies that have hurt farmers and the country. President Biden has stepped in it more than most in his first 9 months, but hasn't hurt farmers yet, like President Carter did. Let's review. Average Board of Trade corn prices before bases 1972 was $1.35. July 72, Russia buys wheat and corn. 1973 through 1980, $2.85 for corn. That was a 111% increase. December 1979, Russia invades Afghanistan. February 1980, Carter embargoes corn sales to Russia. That was Carter's response to farmers' good luck. 1981 through 1990, $2.15, down 25%. No surprise that farm bankruptcies were at record highs in the 1980s. President Trump was and is far from the perfect, but he did take the Chinese tariff money and redistribute it to the farmers, which kept many from a repeat of the 1980s. President Biden could help farmers and bring down gas prices with year-round E85 gas and using American oil produced right here in America instead of importing it. He could also help with the when AOC declares that everyone eats only grain and saves the environment. Good luck to the hog, cattle, and chicken people. So that was an interesting comment. I got some comments going through here on the text line. Let's just run. Are they going to run the Capitol on methane too? Everybody knows there's plenty there too. Yeah, they need to enforce some kind of law up there. I wonder what their methane greenhouse gases ratings are. You're correct. Jimmy, over the weekend, I became a cattle raiser. I don't know squat about it. I've changed that word. So I guess I'm going to learn. Does YouTube show you how? Well, if you're becoming a cattle rancher, you need to ask your neighbor. Talk to your neighbors. You don't need to do everything on YouTube. You probably do better on Facebook than you can YouTube, because if somebody's doing something stupid on YouTube raising cattle, there's or on Facebook, there's also 10 replies to how stupid they are and what they should be doing. So anyway, check out a bunch of the cattle Facebook sites. You'll learn really quick how to become, you said a cattle raiser. I'm hoping you meant cattle rancher. So anyway, I switched that word around to cattle rancher. So anyway, good luck with that. If you got any questions, just listen to our show. We talk a lot about cattle on here. And then we got another one here. Let me see what it is. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I don't have my Bible with me, so I can't read that. But everybody, this gentleman is saying 2 Timothy 3:1-5. So anyway, thank you very much. What else we got going on here? Tyson Foods. Let's read the one up on Tyson Foods real briefly. We got a couple minutes here. All right, I just want to read up. The top U.S. meat packer, Tyson Foods, beat quarterly profit estimates on Monday and forecast fiscal 2022 revenue above the market expectations on raising meat prices and evolving demand. Well, anyway, they're making money. We all knew that from the get-go, but not necessarily the producers out here, and that doesn't mean it's the processor's fault. You guys, with all this inflation going on, right now is the time to fill your freezer up with some locally raised beef processed at some local processors. You know my line. I love pushing the people out here. We got plenty of people to do it around here, and it's great beef. Well, we'll have Lacey Lowry and Lieutenant James Edward on. Lacey Lowry. Lacey Swope. I watch too many Lacey. Lacey Swope and Lieutenant James Edward on here tomorrow from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. See you guys tomorrow. Have a great day and God bless. It's the Day in Ag.
Cool country.
I love the nonstop music.
I love your music because it's such a wide range.
This is KECO Elk City.
His fate's almost in their hands. Elisa Brady, Fox.